Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. Welcome to the show. I want to thank you all for listening, viewing. We just hit the 500,000 viewer list, and I appreciate it all. Today, we have a very interesting show for you. We have something special. This is more dedicated to my daughter. She is a junior studying forensic accounting. She's about to jump into the corporate world. She wants to be the chief woman in charge. And it's interesting in that KPMG, who also just offered her an internship, which was really cool, did a study for advancing the future of women in business. That study studied 750 women who were one or two levels below the executive level. And a majority of the women felt that they identified experienced feelings of inadequacy, self-doubt, imposter syndromes at certain points in their career. Now, Jen Donahue, who's been through it, she's been through the Navy, she's a PhD in engineering, which is special, the entrepreneur mentor, and she's mentoring women how to do this. Now, whether you're a woman in management or men, you can learn from her. We're also going to be talking about the three main risks in retirement income. I'll be doing that a little bit later. But now let me introduce our first guest. First of all, I want to start this out by saying, how would you like to be in a $300 million business that doubled in 2020? And it seems to continue to double. They say love hurts. With romance scans, that's doubly true. Hearts are broken, wallets are emptied. For 3 years running, people reported losing more and more money to romance scans than any other fraud. In 2020, reported losses to romance scans reached a dollar value of $304 million. It's up 50% from 2019. Now, the median loss from a romance scan is about $2,500. But did you know that's triple from 2016 to 2020? I personally know people who've been caught up in this and have lost hundreds of thousands. And they were so embarrassed that they didn't want to file any type of police report until they were told that we're going to have to pay taxes because they took the money out of their IRA. It's reasonable to wonder what happened in 2020 to make these losses continue to spike. An obvious reason may be the pandemic, limiting our ability to meet in person. But outside the pandemic, the shares of people who have ever used an online dating app has been rising, and romance scams are primed to take advantage. That's why we have Jeff Tinsley, the CEO of RealMe, to walk us through what's going on, what we can do, and how his company can help. Jeff, thanks for joining us today.
Steve, thank you so much for having me.
Before we get going with everything, I'd like to have everybody understand your background, your journey as an entrepreneur, so they can see where all this came from.
Sure. I guess I'll start with the fact that I'm a longtime internet entrepreneur. I started getting involved in the internet space in like 94, 95, before people even knew what the internet was. I was trying to convince people that the internet was going to be a big deal and important for their business to get online. And I happened to find an old brochure that I made from, you know, more than 25 years ago. And it was basically telling people, I think it said that there were 15 million people online at the time back then. And I was having a really hard time convincing people that the internet was going to be a big deal. I was right. It took a little bit longer than I thought. But yeah, I've been a longtime internet entrepreneur. I've had been fortunate to have created some interesting businesses that were quite successful along the way. And, you know, really excited about the mission that we have right now at RealMe. And because we're doing something that is important for people, trying to, you know, help consumers be safer online, avoid scams, avoid fraud. And worse things are happening out there. I know you touched on kind of the dating category area, but you know, the scams and fraud are actually totaling significantly more than that. It's just, you know, you were right. The romance scams have grown by 50% year over year, according to the FTC. But scams overall, I think the FTC said that there were actually 3.3 billion $1 million in scams in 2020. And that was up 83%, probably, wow. You know, because of the pandemic having an impact there, you know, and that causing people to get desperate and do horrible things and take advantage of other people. So we're trying to help in that regard, help people become safer by knowing who they're dealing with online to reduce that fraud, reduce those scams.
Here's a question. People, whether it's doing business or connecting with people, we come to depend on digital interactions heavily. From your perspective, what are some of the biggest issues facing an online marketplace today?
Yeah, so it's interesting. You know, our service, our platform supports the marketplaces to make them more trusted. So when I say marketplace, I'm talking about any kind of a service that does connect two people, basically connect strangers. Because like you said, more and more of us are connecting with strangers because of the internet. Mm-hmm. So any site that connects people, e-commerce sites where you're buying and selling online, we hope to really apply our platform to help people know who they're dealing with so they don't get involved with wrong people and don't get taken advantage of. There was a cartoon from The New Yorker in July of 1993. And in that cartoon, it read, well, it's a dog. He's looking at a computer and it says, on the internet, nobody knows you're a dog, right? That's the quote from the dog. Mm-hmm. And once upon a time, the way we see it, it's like, okay, back then people liked the idea of anonymity on the internet. But, you know, I don't think any of us back then, New Yorker didn't see this back then either, that someday we would rely so much on the internet for important, valuable business, whether you're dating or buying and selling, et cetera. And so we think the idea of anonymity doesn't make sense in a lot of contexts anymore. And people are getting taken advantage of because there is too much anonymity in places where it shouldn't be. And people are taking advantage of that.
I do a lot of reports. In fact, I've gone on local TV and news about fraud scams. And one of the things that I see more and more of is right now people are getting their taxes done and there's ghost tax preparers. They don't even have a tax preparer's ID number and they're charging a percentage. They get this great little spiel about, hey, we'll make sure you get a larger refund and all that stuff. And the reality is once they do that and they're gone and nobody can find them because they don't sign anything, the person's left holding the bag 3 years later when the IRS comes back to them for that money that they shouldn't have received.
Right.
On top of that, in my business as a financial consultant, there's lots of little trends happening because everybody's starting to do these webinars. They're connecting with people there, but I can't say they're really connecting them because they're not touching and feeling them. And as such, there's a trust disconnect there because people can't really see because they've realized that everything's not true on the internet.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. So we ran a nationwide study with a group called FTI Consulting. One thing we were kind of surprised to find out is there is actually a very low level of trust. I mean, we're all relying on these marketplaces to connect with folks, including, like you said, finding perhaps a tax preparation person. And what we found out was that the majority of Americans actually don't trust who they get connected with online. And so it's a big problem that they don't trust them. So that affects the marketplaces that connect the people themselves. But then on top of it, you've got the bad actors out there. They're propagating, you know, horrible scams, taking advantage of people. And that's what, you know, Real Me hopes to change. And the way we're trying to do it is pretty simple. Just trying to help people know who they're engaging with and all these different context, just like we do in the real world, in real life. When you meet somebody, you get to know them, you maybe have heard some things about them, you know a little bit about their past, etc. So we think that's going to help reduce these scams, reduce the fraud, reduce even worse outcomes. And it's critically important that people know that these kinds of services are available out there to help them.
No, that's wonderful, because I was talking to an FBI gentleman about financial scams. He says, Steve, the common person just doesn't think this way. And this person I met with, we used to work together when I was an executive at the Automobile Club. He says, you have to understand something. These people, this is their business. They do this every single day. They go out and talk to people on the internet, try to develop a relationship, try to do something with the means of getting to your money or your information. They could be spending months working somebody, as he put it. It's their business. You can say, how dare you, these people do that. That's how you feel. But you come from a perspective like, I didn't know people would do this or people are like this. So I think people need to understand that there's people who are generally out for your money. They don't care what they have to do. And a lot of them sit in chat rooms all day long and that's their job.
Right. No, and it's interesting. You brought up, you know, the FBI. I read a study that people lost $3.3 billion to scams in just last year. FBI reports something like $20 billion lost a year. I've seen reports out there that are that high, and a lot of it goes unreported, frankly. So this is just what we know about. So the problem of people getting taken advantage of and getting engaged with the wrong folks is a bigger problem than everybody realizes. So what the real numbers are, I don't know. It could be 20, 40, $50 billion lost a year. And I'm talking about in the United States alone. And it's growing at a horrifying clip, right?
Yeah.
These marketplaces are...
Jeff, hold on a second. We got to take a break.
Okay.
Hey, stick with us. We're going to talk more about this. This is a very important subject. And stick with us. We'll be right back. Got to pay a couple bills.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the show. I want to truly thank you for tuning in and appreciate you letting your friends, family, and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, and live a life of personal financial freedom. Hey, you can also follow us at the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page, get financial tips, the whole shot. We're back here with Jeff Tinsley, the CEO of The Real Me, and we're just talking about the tip of the iceberg of people who do not report these scams. And why do they report the scams, Jeff?
It's interesting. I don't have enough information there. What I have read is that some people are simply embarrassed, you know, is a big issue. Like once somebody gets taken advantage of, you feel down on yourself that you were taken advantage of and that you made a mistake. You know, I encourage everybody to report these kinds of issues. It's the only way that the FBI, the FTC can really take notice and start to do things to push toward legislation that requires more marketplaces that connect strangers to require them to allow consumers to more easily check out the other folks that they're engaging with. Things like that we would love to see because the scams are prevalent. It's getting worse. Consumers should not get taken advantage of like this. And I'm concerned about where it's going.
I know personally four people who have been taken by this, one male and three females. Two of the three females were involved with a scam where it was almost like online dating for them. But the person was talking about this great invention that they had, was being involved with the pharmaceutical business and the whole shot. He was giving away founder shares that people can purchase. It took a month, but they started withdrawing money from their IRA accounts. One lady was over $200,000, and we tried to do everything. We said, call the police. Here's somebody at the FBI you can call. Find out. She said, no, have to take out more. They need more money because they're going to do this. And they trusted him. And it was gone. And once it was gone, they were gone. And the other gentleman, it was one of those things where got a little bored or disenfranchised by being married and started talking with somebody online. And next thing you know, they were due to meet them, but couldn't. And oh, we have an emergency over here, and asked him to send money. And he sent a bunch of money. And then it all ended when his wife found out about it. And obviously he's not married anymore, but
it's too common, just like we've been talking about, and it's getting worse. Yeah, the romance scam that you described, that sounds like from what we've read, it's a common issue. They develop a relationship, and then next thing you know, they have a medical issue or some kind of emergency, as you described, and they ask the person for a little bit of money, and then they ask them for more money. Once they get a little bit, it sounds like they're pretty good at getting more, and it's a shame. There are simple solutions to these issues. It's knowing who, really being able to check out who you're engaging with, when you're going to engage with them, especially when money is involved, of course. But even if money isn't involved and you're just trying to make sure that, you know, you're getting involved with somebody for a romantic relationship, that's an important connection and relationship in your life. You're making an investment effectively there.
We're in California, so we have a 50% divorce rate. When people are over the age of 50, it's actually over 75%. They get remarried, there's a 75% chance that it won't work out. People, when they get lonely, are very susceptible on multiple levels. I believe it's very important to, whether you're working with somebody that's going to be an advisor, whether it be CPA, financial, legal, whether you're looking to date somebody and you would like that relationship to go further than where it is, it might make sense just to connect with somebody like the real me and to find out what they're all about. So how would somebody go about doing that with your service, Jeff?
Well, yeah, we think it's a must. People need to check out the other folks, because just even with the love example, you're not only making an investment with your heart, very often you're making a financial investment, you're making a commitment to people. And unfortunately, a lot of marriages end in divorce, and that can get difficult. But with the numbers related to the scams, just on the surface, speak for themselves. You really ought to know who you're engaging with online. So that's why we at Real Me, we partner with the dating sites, we partner with these marketplaces that connect folks, so that we make it easy for the consumers right within their service to easily check out the other folks that you're going to engage with, so you don't make a mistake there and you know more about their history, criminal and court history, lawsuits, liens, bankruptcies, judgments, who's on the sex offender list, personal reviews that you can read so you can learn more about what other people are saying about them. All those things matter and can help you not make a mistake and not be a victim of a scam and fraud, or even worse, because some of the outcomes that we've read about are much, much worse than just losing money, of course. So it's a safety issue. And the way we see things, it is a responsibility of these services that connect strangers to make it easy for their consumers to check each other out. I don't think they want to hurt anybody. Oh, they're trying to provide a good service and people are taking advantage of those platforms. But fortunately, it's easy to work with us, for instance, and make it easy for the consumers to check other people out. And it's good for business, because consumers want to be able to check out the other people. First of all, about 62% of U.S. adults don't trust the other person that's on the other side of the line that they're getting connected with. More than 80% of them want to be able to check out the other folks online, and it's too difficult through Google. And we think at the end of the day, for these marketplaces, it's good for business to build trust in those platforms, because what we have also learned is that the consumers have said they're more likely to use a service that makes it easy to check out the other folks than an alternative, right? So it's good for everybody. The trust in the marketplaces, the consumers being safe, the reduction of fraud and scams and horrible outcomes that not only bad for the consumer, it's bad for the brand. And so it's a responsibility, we feel, for these marketplaces to embrace this and make an impact.
I think that's wonderful. People just need to go to therealme.com to connect with you. Is that correct?
There are two parts. So if you have a marketplace out there, right, you're a dating site or an e-commerce site, and you want to work with us to make your site safer and build up the trust in your site, you can go to The Real Me and become a partner. And then our sister site is My Life, actually, for consumers. If they want to go check someone out that they're dating or doing business with, et cetera, they can go to My Life, type in a name or a phone number, that sort of thing, and check out the individual's reputation, their background, read reviews, and know more about the person so they're safe and they don't make a mistake.
So that's mylife.com.
Mylife.com is the sister site that the consumers can go to on an individual basis. And we're hoping to be able to attract through your audience more of these marketplaces that have a responsibility to make themselves safer and build trust, and by working with The Real Me, which is the platform that's making.
So let's talk a little bit about the future here. What do you think the online marketplace will look like in 5 to 10 years? I can understand how your company would fit in there, but what does it really look like? Because I think a lot of people are like, okay, where's this moving to? And the pandemic just expedited that. So where do you see it going?
That's interesting. So all studies all over the place that you could read about on Google indicate that these marketplaces that connect strangers online are just going to continue to grow like a weed. That means more and more people, unfortunately, without a platform like RealMe, there's the potential for far more victimization, which is awful. We are hoping when we're gaining a lot of traction, a lot of really top sites are, have engaged with us to incorporate the ability to check out others into their sites, and they see it as being good for business. Even Match.com just recently said in about a year or so, they're going to have the ability to check people's backgrounds. But if they were working with us, we could actually deliver that to them today. In the long run, we, of course, are hoping to make a dent in reducing these fraud and scams. And I'm hoping, as I mentioned before, that legislation comes into place, that the FTC, for instance, makes some recommendations to Congress to require these marketplaces or any site that connects people, especially where there's money involved, to make it easy for you to be able to check out the other folks. So we hope for some more legislation that requires this. And if that happens and more people adopt the platform for safety that we have under RealMe, I hope these numbers start to go down. Some of these numbers are just getting out of hand. People are getting hurt. And we've got to reverse this increase in scams. I mean, 83% increase in scams, according to the FTC in 2020 versus 2019. Mm-hmm. Horrifying.
I was just going to say the net effect. I've seen it ruin 4 people's retirement. I mean, you had 60 to 70 year old people are actually going back to work because they have no choice. It's just horrible. So I'm thankful for a site like yours. I didn't know it was My Life. So I want to make sure everybody knows about My Life and then also the Real Me, because if both of those are out there, people can feel safer.
Thank you very much. Yeah. I mean, we hope these numbers next time, maybe we get together next year and hopefully we've made a dent in making these numbers go down, stop the growth. It's horrible.
Actually, with as many times as I do reports on scams, which is 2 or 3 times a year, I would love to hear that. I'd love to hear, hey, there's a dent been made by RealMe and these scams have actually dropped instead of doubled or tripled.
Right. It's not looking good right now, but we hope to make an impact. Really, I hope your audience is careful. Everyone needs to be careful. So I'm glad that you're doing this talk, of course, to make people informed. Like if people are aware, then they'll be more careful and they won't be victims. So go check out the people that you're engaging with that you don't know. If you're dating or doing business with them or, you know, anything, you're buying and selling, you have to check. It's an imperative, you know.
Jeff, I want to thank you for joining us today. I appreciate the message. I know my audience appreciates the message. So I wish you well, be safe and healthy. And we'll look forward to seeing you on the flip side. I'd love to have you back in 6 months or so and see how this is going.
All right. Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Good day.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, I want to welcome you back to the show. That was Jeff Tinsley of The Real Me. And you know what? Like I said, we talked about romance scams. If you're looking whether to be getting in a new relationship online, hiring a new financial advisor, hiring a CPA attorney or anybody online, you can go to The Real Me or like my like, I'm sorry, it's, oh, there's my gaff. you can go to mylife.com as an individual and check somebody out you're doing business with. This is the ever-increasing online marketplace. That way you can see if you've got somebody that's not gonna that's gonna try and steal your heart and your wallet, or just steal your heart. So with that, I want to thank Jeff for being on the show. Now I'd like to introduce you to Jen Donahoe. Jen's a U.S. Navy veteran, engineer, entrepreneur. She's a mentor. She spent her whole life working career in a man's world, obviously the military. Now she's encouraging women in leadership positions to take their own camouflage off, and even if it's if they're the only women in the room. Now, I want to just share this with everybody. There was a study done by KPMG. Incidentally, KPMG just hired my daughter as an intern in the accounting world. And I'm so thankful because they focus on helping people or women in the management ranks. And they did a study of people who were one or two levels above the below the C-suite and said, hey, you know what? You know, how are you feeling? Okay. And you know what? One of the big things that we saw there is they were concerned about the feelings for being an imposter. Okay. The only person in the room all by themselves, you know, where they felt more and more stressed as they accomplished more. And they felt like they had to work harder just because they're the only woman in the room. Now, Jen's a specialist. She's lived it. So you know what, Jen, welcome to the show. I think this is unbelievably important, whether somebody's a man or a woman, whether it doesn't matter your ethnicity, because I think that, like I told you before, it doesn't matter your gender, your race, how old you are. I think it all adds to that, all adds to the workplace, and everybody should be valued. And I think everybody realizes it be valued. Now, before we get started, I just want to throw this out. Way back when our kids were little, my wife went to what's called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers, and she was freaking out about something the kids were doing. And my son would like to chew on crayons. So when she got there, she started talking to the other moms and found it. Everybody's eating crayons. So it wasn't something weird. So what I want to tell everybody is that, you know what? You're not in this alone. You have people like Jen who can help you through it, who's been there. And to have that fellowship of women or men or people in your own ethnicity to say, hey, I'm dealing with this too. This is big. So Jen, again, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to this.
More so me. Hey, you know what? All our listeners, they would love to hear your story. You know what? The military is a tough place to be for anybody, let alone a woman. And you excelled. And I just would love to hear your story. I know our listeners would. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I'm an ocean engineer from Texas A&M. And whenever I was about to graduate, I realized that I had all this angst and that I had to go out and I had to see the world. I wasn't ready to just go down to Houston and, you know, start a job down there with the oil and gas industry. I had to get out and I had to see things. And so I looked at the different uniform services and found that the Navy was really the best fit for me. Now, going through the ocean engineering program, I was one of only two women in the program, you know, so I was kind of getting used to being the only female in the room. It was usually like just me and Michelle. That was it, you know, the entire time. And so whenever I got into the military, so first off, there's not that many women in engineering and not that many women in engineering that also want to join the military. And so I was part of the Civil Engineer Corps. And even to this day, we're only about 9 to 10% women. And I went to my very first command. So I was out in Guam and had just a fantastic time. If anybody ever has a chance to go to Guam, they should. But it started there again. I was one of only, you know, one of the only women in the room. Angie was the only other woman usually that was there, you know, it's my other friend. And through the ranks, it's just continued that way. Now, I've gone to Iraq, I've gone to Afghanistan, done expeditionary construction for the Marine Corps, kind of all over the world. And yes, I just got used to really being one of the only females in the room.
Well, you know what? That's a great story, because it's interesting, because a lot of people have lived that in their own corporate life. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that, you know what, I like this statement that was made, and I think you made it. It says, female entrepreneurs, do you lean into the fact that you're a woman? And I think you should shed some light on that, because I think so many people are doing the fake it till you make it stuff, and it doesn't really work. I learned that early on, because I was trying to be like the older guys, but I was like, that's not me. That doesn't work. I felt so stupid doing that. So, you know what? Help us understand that and what women can do.
So there's a couple of different pieces that you talked about there. And one of them is the, if you're a female entrepreneur, do you really lean into that? And in talking to several of my other very competent friends, and I know through my own life, you know, I had to scrap for what I got. You know, I felt like I had to work harder, I had to work longer than all of my other counterparts in order to get where I was. And what I found is that I put on this camouflage, and, you know, it doesn't really have anything to do with the military, but I've kind of realized that that's, I think, where it started, is that I felt like I needed to blend in. And so I didn't want to stand out as a female. You know, they usually got too much of the wrong type of attention. And I just wanted to sort of blend in and do my job and just try to do it, you know, harder than everybody else. And so I got used to this. It's like, you know, I didn't want to stand out. And so now as an entrepreneur and owning my own company, the question came up, do I want to be a WBE, a woman business entrepreneur? Because my entire life I had tried not to stand out. And now I'm being asked, should I do this? And I realized there's people out there that want to help us, and we don't have to take it as hard as we have. And so signing up to be a WBE or a WOSB, woman-owned small business, it's actually been really helpful. And it's something that I have realized is like, you know, this is the right thing to do, because people do want to help, you know, some of the disadvantaged folks that are out there. And it was really hard to try to get to that point. And so maybe that's just me and my own stubborn pigheadedness. But that was one of the realizations that I finally came to, is that, you know, I do have to start to take off my camouflage and just be who I would really like to be.
I think that's wonderful. And all too often people think once, in order to move up to do their, to go to the next level, they have to be a certain way. And reality, what got them there is their own authentic self.
Right.
So,
right. Yeah, it's really true. Oh, it's really true. So a lot of my friends is like, you know, I've had this conversation, and we've been having these conversations over the last several months. And I'm telling you, across the board, for a lot of people who are, you know, one in the crowd, they've all kind of gone through this process. And once they realized that they had been putting on their camouflage to blend in, and they started to take off the camouflage, because everybody knew that, hey, you know, they are doing a really good job, they can stand on their own, they start to take off that camouflage, now all of a sudden, they're just skyrocketing, they're just soaring, because now they can be themselves. And that's really what I found through a lot of my counterparts. And it's not just females, it's actually some men that are in female dominated, you know, organizations. You know, once they figured out, hey, I can, you know, sort of be myself, man, they're doing fantastic now.
Mm-hmm. I think that's wonderful. Now, you know what, women in STEM, and I think it's really interesting, because my son is a senior in college studying electrical engineering, and he's like at the top of his class and all that kind of stuff. But you know what, he was hoping to date this year, but it didn't really work out because of the pandemic and the fact that there's like one girl in engineering.
She's got her pick. I mean, that's good for her, you know, in the dating scene.
Well, the other part is she's already married. Oh. So it's really funny. But when it comes into, you know, how does somebody become a leader in a field that's still dominated by men? And you know what, how do we go about building women leaders for the next generation?
That's a great question. I think it all has to start with that groundbreaker. You know, once you get into a position where you're seen as a strong female leader, you have to realize that now there's other females that are looking up to you. And that was, that was one of those really interesting realizations that I went through. And like all of these younger females are now looking up to me, and basically they've told me, it's like, we now understand that we can achieve this, because previously we'd only seen men in these positions. I taught at UC Berkeley, and I had women coming into my office all the time, just so glad that there was finally a female professor. And that's what it takes. You know, you have to start that momentum. You have to have a couple groundbreakers so that others are encouraged and motivated so that they can also go into those positions. And it's also incumbent, I think, also on women leaders as well, that we have to really look and we have to make a choice whenever we're looking at people who we're going to hire and put in different positions. And it really depends on that person that you're looking at. I'm not a firm believer in just grabbing a female because she's there. Look for the most, you know, the one who has the most fire and has the most drive, you know, and maybe that's the person that looks like you at that time. And maybe you help them out in order to help their career as well.
In other words, finding a good mentor is wonderful. That is so key. You know what? Let's hold on a second, because I want to talk to you about the essential things you should be looking for in the right mentor if you're looking for that within the organization, Tourette. And I know you've been through that, and I know you've done an interview on it, so that's why I want to talk about it. So we're going to hold on right here. We got to take a break and pay some bills. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more of Jen.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back. Hey, I want to truly thank you for tuning in and appreciating you letting your friends and family and associates know about the show. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. If you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight on Saving with Steve, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel so you never miss a show. And check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio in New York City, E360 TV, and Las Vegas TV Network. All these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift your spirit, live a life of financial and personal freedom. Also, follow us on Facebook and join the Saving with Steve Sexton Facebook page. And if you'd like to get replays, guest gifts, you can always go to the savingwithsteve.us. Now, we're back with Jen. I don't want to say this wrong. Donahue.
Like Phil.
You know what? I've got a Donahue as a client. So, so Cameron, edit that out, please. So we're back here with Jen.
Donahue.
We're back here with Jen Donahue with Lessons from Leaderships. But what we are talking about right now, and I think it's unbelievably important, is to find the right mentor. What are the essential things that one should be looking for to finding that right mentor?
Great question. So just to let you know, I never had a mentor growing up, just because it really wasn't a thing at that time. And so I was a wild little thing. I was going all over the place. I was going to take on the world by myself. Nobody could tell me what to do. And man, I just made so many mistakes along the way. Whenever I got a little bit older, all of a sudden I had some people coming up and saying, hey, will you mentor me? And I'm like, I have no idea how to mentor you, because I was never had a mentor myself. So I started looking into it and trying to figure out, how do I be the best mentor that I could? I thought, hey, you know what? I'm going to do something even crazier. I'm going to go get a mentor. Yeah, I was like in my late 30s, but it's like, hey, now's the right time. I'm going to try to figure out what this mentor thing is about. So I started looking around me, and I found a couple of different people. One of the things I found in my research was that don't have one mentor, have a board of directors, somebody who's good at different things. Maybe there's somebody who's technically very strong and they could really help you technically in your job. Maybe that's a great mentor to have. Maybe somebody's really good at business. Maybe somebody's good at finance. Maybe you have somebody who's really good at their family life that could be a good mentor. So I think it's really important to look at these different aspects of your life and think, where can I benefit the most at this time? You don't have to get them all at once, but maybe start to bring on your board of directors slowly as you realize what you need to be better at. So I have one that's technical, and he's been absolutely fantastic. And I just went up and I asked him, and I said, hey, would you be my mentor? And that's such a great honor, you know, to be asked that. And he had very, you know, strict stipulations. And he was like, okay, you're going to have to work really hard, I'm going to give you lots of homework, you know, but if you want to be my mentee, this is what you have to do. And that was fantastic. On the business side, I have a mentor as well, you know, very different personality, but I would say try out a couple of different people as mentors before you just lock into one, because it's really important. You are sharing, you know, your life with them and your fears and your weaknesses. And you have to have that professional relationship and personal relationship with them as you go forward. My last bit of advice is don't get somebody immediately within your chain of command. You might want to have your boss as your mentor, but I would probably recommend against that. Maybe find somebody else in the company. And the reason why is that, you know, they have some skin in the game as well. So maybe if you want to change careers, maybe they're not going to give you the best advice because you're the best person they have on the team. And so there's a conflict of interest there as well. So that's my one recommendation is don't go for your immediate boss. Maybe look for somebody else within your sphere, but somebody that you feel comfortable with.
I think that's wonderful. I think the main point that a lot of people don't think about when they have a mentor is they have a mentor for one subject, one vertical, so to speak. And I think it makes a lot of sense to have multiple mentors, because I know I've had multiple mentors over the years in different areas that I was weak in. And I said, I need help here. And I love the fact that you talk about having ground rules on both sides. A lot of people think that, hey, I should ask my boss to be a mentor. Well, you know what? They should be a coach anyways. They should be a leader. They should help you get to where you want to go. But having somebody different provides a different perspective. And I think that's wonderful. And you know what? When you're playing in the sandbox together, if you can do multiple things, you can do more in the sandbox, which is really important.
Right. Exactly.
Now, when we talk about surviving and thriving through a crisis, okay? So I know you've done an interview. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to ask the question. Do you have a process for this? I know you're an engineer. All engineers have a process. So I was wondering what yours is.
Yes. And I learned this really in the military. And so we're always ready for a crisis in the military. We're always practicing for a crisis. And I found whenever I was in industry, we really weren't practicing for crises very often. And really, it starts with the planning and sitting down and coming up with all of the different problems that could go wrong, and then thinking about what we call immediate action drills. Like if this goes wrong, this is what we're going to do. And we're going to practice that. And we're going to get the whole team together. So we're going to practice if this happens, this is what we're going to do. So for instance, if you're on a project and something goes terribly wrong, okay, what are your immediate actions? Instead of freaking out, which I know some people have a tendency to do, don't freak out, because you have a little rule book there that says, this is what we do. I contact this person, I contact that person. And now your crisis isn't as bad because you're clicking through it and you know what you need to do and you know what your team needs to do as well. Now, if you're in the middle of a crisis and you'd never planned for it, which is probably somewhere that we're in, like right now in our current, 2021 and 2020. So when you're in that type of crisis, as a leader, the one thing you really need to do is make sure that your team is doing what they need to do and that they have the resources and the care that they need. Because they're going through a crisis in addition to everything else that's going around them. And we have to make sure that as leaders, we're taking care of them. Yes, we need to have our eye on, you know, our long-term goals. But at the same time, we have to make sure that we're taking care of our people. So maybe that's, they need a different computer. Maybe they need more time to get things done. Whatever that might be during that crisis, make sure that you're taking care of your team. They'll take care of you and you'll get through it. And then the last piece of this whole thing is that you have to debrief at the end. So many of us, whenever we're out of the crisis, we just want to look forward and just go. And we don't want to think about it. But there's so much that can be done with the debrief. What did we do well? What should we improve upon? What could make us more efficient? Maybe there was something that we found during this crisis that if we did this, we're more efficient in the long run. So just take some time to just debrief first before you start to go forward, because then you're ready for the next crisis, because it's all cyclical.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree, because learn from what didn't work, learn from what did work. Right. And utilize it in the next step. I've seen so many people freak out over stuff that they didn't need to freak out over. And part of this just had to do is being calm and understanding, okay, here's where you're at. Where do we have to go? What do we need to do? And I like the fact that you say, take care. Okay. There's obviously expectations, but it's a crisis and things are new. You still need to set high expectations so people can rise to the cause. And I love that about what you said, because I think that's a great message that people can resonate and say, okay, I can do this. And I remember, what's his name, who was the mayor of New York City during 9/11.
Giuliani?
I forget his name off the top of my head, but he says, one thing I learned is just be the calmest guy in the room and then do exactly what you just said. Everybody's going to be in a situation, like, for example, my daughter's going into KPMG. A lot of companies like that, when you walk in the door, whether to be an intern or a new employee, they're going to put you through the hell month or two or three. And they're going to have large, lofty expectations. They're going to push you, and you're going to have to learn, and you're going to have to develop and grow. Otherwise, you're probably not going to be there. So, you know what? Whether it's men or women, how do you deal with the pressures of high performance expectations?
Well, first off, whenever you go there, hopefully you know that those are the expectations that you're going to have to live up to. And then mentally prepare. You might have to be working really long hours in order to meet those goals. My advice, and I'm an engineer, I'm a student for life, you know, go in and study and study and study and study and work really, really hard, you know, during that first startup period, because not only is that going to get you ahead of the curve because you are studying, you are working, you know, so hard, people will see that you were invested. And there's going to be a time when they start to sort of slacken off a little bit on that because they're testing you. But you have to go in, you know, with that idea. You know, it's just like going through boot camp or any type of other training. You know that that's what you're going into. So again, you know, study as much as you can, work as hard as you can, and establish yourself as that go-to person.
So one of the things I do want to chat about is, before we end here, is the yellers.
Yes.
I just call it a style on its own, the yellers. Yes. When I was first working in the 80s, yes, people yelled and stuff like that. And got away from them and moved off and all that stuff. So what would be the advice if you're moving up, if, you know, you feel the tendency to want to yell or scream or get upset at, you know, people, that type of thing?
Go home and yell into a pillow. Don't.
Are you going to say been there, done that?
My first opportunity to lead people, I didn't know what I was doing. And I looked at the leaders above me, just like you were talking about, and they were yellers. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, oh, I guess this is how you lead people. And so I went in and I yelled at my people, and it felt horrible. I mean, it's one of those things where that was like 26 years ago, and I still regret doing it because that really wasn't who I was. And so my advice for folks, if they feel like they have to be yellers, you know, maybe that is their personality, but don't fake it just because you think that that's what you're supposed to do. Understand who you are as a leader, and maybe you're a compassionate leader. Maybe you're a selfless leader. You know, maybe you are a yeller. And if you are a yeller, I would highly recommend that, you know, you don't yell at your people, because that doesn't do good for anybody. You know, they're going to completely shut off. I saw this happen just actually a couple of weeks ago, where somebody yelled at somebody else, and you could just see a wall went right up and nothing they were saying was getting through. You know, the person felt awful on the other side. And so it wasn't effective whatsoever. So I would definitely say, don't yell at your people, and don't feel like you have to yell at your people just because you think that's what leaders are supposed to do.
Well, Jen, I want to thank you for being on the show today. How can people, I know you're a public speaker, I know you're a mentor and entrepreneur. How can people connect with you to follow you, to, you know, get help if they need help, or just be part of the girls group?
Okay. So I can be reached at jendonahue.com. So that's Jen with two N's, D-O-N-A-H-U-E. I can also be found on LinkedIn at Jen Donahue, and on Twitter at Jen Donahue, and on Instagram at I am Jen Donahue. Are you seeing a pattern? So if you just, go, just Google Jen Donahue, you'll find me.
Jen, thank you so much. I love what you're doing. You're spearheading what can be, what, how women have a place to go to know somebody's been through it. And you know what? I think that's wonderful. I know my daughter, I've already sent your stuff to my daughter, and she's like, oh my God, I love this girl. So thanks again for being with us today, sharing your knowledge. And I wish you the most success, and stay happy, stay healthy.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
Don't let your financial woes keep you up at night and prevent you from living a life of financial and personal freedom. Hi, I'm Steve Sexton, host of the Saving with Steve Show. We're going to be talking about the ins and outs of money, those financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars, causing stress, keeping you up at night. We're going to talk about money, tax reductions, saving more, spending less, your investments, risk management, retirement, and everything associated with you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. So if you've ever dreamed of living a life of financial and personal freedom, you owe it to yourself and your family to tune into the Saving with Steve Show. Join me, Steve Sexton, on the Saving with Steve Show as we talk about everything under the sun when it comes to money. To learn more about the show, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us, savingwithsteve.us. We'll see you soon.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hello, welcome back to Saving with Steve. This is Steve Sexton. That was Jen Donahoe. She was talking about how women can perform in the workplace, and she's helping us through it with all of our coaching and mentoring techniques. It was wonderful. I hope you pass this interview on to your daughters, to the friends that you know that might be struggling or looking for help or just somebody to connect with in the workplace. I think that was wonderful. Before that, we have Jeff Tinsley of The Real Me. So that way you can check somebody out to make sure you trust them in the online marketplace. So now I'd like to just talk to you about the three main risks in retirement income. When it comes to retirement, there are three areas families need to think about to protect their assets. With people living longer on an average of 65 for men, retiring at 65 for men, 63 for females, it's important to address three risks or these risks in your retirement and legacy planning. First of all, it's the sequence of return. One of the fundamental pieces of retirement planning is to have a plan for income. Okay. This is where you use the three-legged stool. A retirement income plan comes into play with Social Security, pensions, and personal savings. There are also issues when you approach this, few people have a pension, and there are questions about the solvency of Social Security. That puts even more of a burden on personal savings and assets to fund your retirement. The problem with we rely on personal savings, if the market dips right as you're about to retire or shortly thereafter, the sequence of returns or the sequence of return risk could have a negative effect on your retirement because you'll not have the time to rebound if you're drawing off those assets, okay? This is why people came up with the rule of 100. So basically what you do, you take your age, subtract how old you are, say if you're 65, 35 left over, and that's how much you have at risk in the market, and the other 65% in safer investments. Now, let's look at market risk, the second risk. Most people near retirement remember the downturn of 2002 and 2008. Those were tough years in the market. If you worked your whole life and the market crashed as you get to retirement, it's a detrimental effect on your income. You've worked hard and now you're near retirement. You probably don't want to see half your life savings wiped out by the downturn in the market. This is where understanding the difference investment tools and how they work can help you protect against market risk. An investment can only have two of the following three characteristics. Remember this, folks. Investments can have growth, safety, and liquidity. For example, hey, if you're at a bank, you have checking, savings, as a money market. Hey, the money market's safe. Your assets aren't going to go down. Hey, no problem. It's also liquid. You can pull the money out anytime, but there's really no growth potential. I mean, right now you probably get a money market or savings account at 0.1. Quite frankly, if you have one of those, you're losing money safely, but losing money safely due to purchasing power. Okay. But if you need the money for, next 3-6 months, that's what you have that for. Now on the flip side, you have money in the market. It has the potential for growth. It's liquid. Hey, everybody likes that.
but there's no guarantee of safety, which people don't like. When investing in the market, you can have conservative, moderate, aggressive portfolios. For the liquidity and growth potential money in the market, you have to give up the guarantee of safety. Everyone with a conservative, safe portfolio, there's still a chance you could lose money. Just ask anyone who has money in the markets in 2008 because their 401k affectionately turned into a 201k. In fact, I was doing a presentation back in 2008, just after the crash, to a number of lawyers. And one says, "I hate you financial people because I tell you I don't want to lose any money and I still lose money." And then I have to explain to him the three worlds of investing. Now, the third leg of an investment triangle is the tools that offer the potential for growth with guarantees of safety, okay? These guarantees of safety come with either bank or insurance companies. The trade-off there has to be a little bit of sacrifice on the liquidity side. And these investment tools could be things like certificates of deposits. They could be multi-year guaranteed annuities. They could be fixed indexed annuities, indexed universal life insurance. Often an individual gets older and closer to retirement, they move more money to the safety from the growth side, hence the rule of 100. So let's talk about the third risk. It's the risk of longevity. Life expectancy in the US is roughly 79 years old. Given that, it's important to make sure your income and retirement will last as long as you do, which is the number one concern for retirees. This is why developing an income plan also involves developing an investment plan to bring these two concepts together to fight against longevity and ultimately bankrupting your personal savings. Now, in the past, individuals could just rely on their Social Security, which was guaranteed income for life, okay? Which is also and pensions, which is also guaranteed income for life. However, these days, fewer and fewer people have pensions, and Social Security by itself will not even cover most retirees' monthly expenses. This is where having an income plan comes into play, and the income plan needs to take into account that people are living longer. There are two strategies to protect against longevity risk and ensure that income will last as long as you do. First, there are options to create additional income streams through fixed index annuities and index universal life insurance, where the assets can be turned into income streams for life. A second way is to rely on drawing down assets such in a way to protect the sequence of returns. In other words, you want to structure some assets, okay, in a growth bucket and in a safe bucket. And basically what you're doing here is you're withdrawing your income from the growth bucket when the growth bucket is growing, okay? You have a safe bucket you're allowing to grow when the growth bucket stops growing or goes negative because the market retreats. You take your income from the safety bucket and then allow your growth bucket to recover. And then when it starts growing again, you start withdrawing your assets from there. By doing so, you could put yourself in a position where 20 years down the line, you can have $200,000 more, $300,000, $500,000 more. Let me put that in real context. If you started with a $700,000 and looked at the sequence of withdrawals from a growth bucket and a safe bucket and took money out when the growth bucket was growing and the safe bucket when the growth bucket wasn't growing, you can end up with 25% more in 20 years, as much as 40% more assets in 20 years just by working your sequence of distributions between a safe and a growth bucket, okay? Now, that being said, we always have to take a look at protecting our nest egg. Now, one of the things that people do when they take a look at protecting their nest eggs is, you know what, the reality is you work hard for what you have. It's important to consider strategies to protect and preserve that nest egg. This is where creating an income and investment plan that can protect against sequence of returns, market risk, longevity risk come into play. And there's one other thing that you probably want to look into that. You want to protect against tax risk. We all know, based off current administration, that taxes are likely to move up in the future. So taxes can be detrimental to a retirement plan. So it's very important that you look at dealing with that tax risk and be very efficient when it comes to your tax planning. You can experience, by doing so, you can experience more clarity, confidence, and comfort
as you move into that dream retirement. So please keep that in mind. Make sure you're having those discussions with your financial advisors, because the reality is a more confident retiree is done through education. And the more education you can get by understanding and getting clarity on those, that return risk, that market risk, that longevity risk, and how it affects you, will make a difference in your life. Hey, I want to thank you all for joining us today on Saving with Steve. We talked with Jeff Tinsley of The Real Me. And if you want to go to mylife.com and check out somebody you're dating or somebody you're looking at doing in business with, you can check out their background and see if they're real. Secondly, we talked with Jen Donahoe. She was outstanding. She's helping women in the marketplace learn how to deal with the things that, you know, those preconceptions. And just know there are other people out there, whether you're male or female, that can help you get through the things that you're thinking about, so you don't feel like an imposter, so you're not doing things that don't present you as the authentic you, because doing that will give you more money, make you more successful, and give you a brighter life. Now, next week, we have some really awesome stuff to talk to you about, but one of the things we're going to be talking about that a lot of people are asking is, hey, what's this Biden tax proposal all about? We're not getting political. We're just giving you the numbers. But more importantly, if those things go through, we're going to tell you what to do. So with that, I want to thank you all for joining us today. My name is Steve Sexton, and this is the Saving with Steve Show. We'll look forward to seeing you next week. Be safe, be healthy. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton.